Real Christians walk into a room and the sinners go, uh-oh, Jesus just walked in here with him. I felt something when he passed by me. I feel something when he talks to me about God. This person is real. You need to be that real Christian.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is We Are God's Messengers and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
How many of you are really on fire for God? If I was to step out there and hand somebody a $1,000 bill, you'd tell everybody, wouldn't you? And this place would be filled with people with their hands out, wouldn't it? Well, listen, praise God. Did you know that you got something more valuable than $1,000 in your hands? Because let's say I gave somebody in here $1,000 today, but that person was to die tomorrow with that $1,000 in their pocket. What good would that $1,000 do them? Can anybody answer that question? What good would $1,000 do a dead person? Praise God. Today we're going to be talking about we are God's messengers. Our key verse is Romans 10:17. I'm reading out of the NIV. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Listen to this. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the message, right? And the message is heard through what? The word of Christ. Amen? The four gospels are about who? Jesus Christ. Amen. The message refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. People must hear about something in order to know about something. Furthermore, we must know about something before we can believe in it. The more we hear about Jesus, the more we know about him. As our knowledge grows about him, so should our faith in him grow. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, does it? Unfortunately, sometimes the more we find out about something, the less we believe. And that's a very dangerous thing to happen with Jesus. Now, most of the time, what happens is the more we find out about Jesus, the more righteous we find out he is, and the less we compare to him. In other words, we're not perfect. Isn't that terrible to find out how imperfect we are? The more you hear about Jesus and compare him to yourself, the less perfect you become. I don't want to believe that. Ain't nobody that perfect. That's what happens in our hearts. I don't want to hear that. No, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me how to live. I'm perfect the way I am. But let's look at this. We must hear the message. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to hear it. Really hear it. Not just hear the words, but I got to hear it. It's got to get inside of me. Amen? Because something's got to change. And it can't change you unless it's inside of you. You can look at the medicine, but unless you take it and get it inside of you, it's not going to change anything, is it? You got to get this in you. We must hear the message, Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. Hearing the message. But you know what? Your ears aren't the only thing that does the listening, does it? You know this when you listen to or when you yell at your children and they don't listen to you. You know they hear you. They're not deaf because they can hear dinner time. Many people have been told the message of Christ, but not all hear the message. Some of us are spiritually deaf. Some of us just can't hear what God is saying. Now, I've talked to older Christians who've come to the faith in their later lives, and they said, you know, as I look back, I can tell that God was talking to me. He was talking to me through preacher men. He was talking to me through my family and my friends, and even in my heart. But I wasn't hearing him. Oh, I knew he was talking, and I could hear the words, but I wasn't listening. I was not submitting. Mark 4:12. So that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. This is Jesus talking. Let's read that again. Mark 4:12. So that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. You can scream things at people, and they don't get it. They don't want to get it. They think they got it all together. But what Jesus is saying here is that you could show them, you could draw them a diagram, and they can see that diagram, but they don't perceive it. They don't get it. They can hear the message, but they're not listening. And listen, if a person fails to perceive, if a person fails to understand, they fail to be forgiven. This is serious stuff. This is your eternal soul. Not just mine, not just yours, but the rest of the world's. What are you going to do when you die? You're going to put everything on the fact that you believe that when you're dead, you're dead? That there is no God, that there is no judgment for the dead? That's a heck of a bet. You're betting eternity. And I hate to tell you this, but plenty of people are filling the graveyards as we speak right now. There's people dying. Where are they going? I'm not the judge. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Jesus. I know this for a fact. Our hearts must be open to hear the message, and only God can open them. But you have to surrender. I remember when I was saved, I said a prayer. I said, God, I don't believe in you. I don't believe. I said that. But if you are real, help me to believe. And God said, thank you very much. Because that was the prayer with faith the size of a mustard seed. God was waiting for that prayer. He was waiting for me to have just enough faith to say, listen, I don't believe in you, but I'm talking to you, so I must be believing in something. Help me. Right? Who am I talking to if I'm not talking to somebody, right? So I must have had some kind of faith. And he helped me to understand. But see, I had to submit. I had to surrender. I had to come to a point in my life where I didn't want to live the life I was living anymore. Because you have free will, and God will let you travel down that road as long as you want to travel it. Your life. Nobody can tell you how to live it. Not even God. He wants to tell you how to live it, but he's not going to take your free will away from you. Second, there must be messengers for the message to be heard. Somebody's got to say it, right? Listen to what it says in Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? How are you going to hear about Jesus if everybody's so tight-lipped about him? Do you not know that we live in a world in an America that is trying to get you to shut up about Jesus? They want you to shut up about him so they can live their life any way they want to without the light shining over it. See, Jesus is a light. When you bring Jesus into the workplace, you're exposing all of the misdeeds that they're doing there, right? When you bring Jesus into the family, all of the black sheep are exposed. You hear what I'm saying? The world don't want you preaching about Jesus. Oh, Satan don't care if you talk about God. You can talk about God. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven saves. You start talking about Jesus and the devil gets a little upset. And those who listen to the devil, that's the unsaved, they get a little bit upset and they want to shut up the Christian. We can't do that. We can't do that. If you've been doing it, you got to stop. Somebody out there needs to hear the word. Praise God. Jesus came to preach the good news, which is the message of salvation. Jesus came to preach it. Did you know that Jesus had a 3-year ministry? And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what he preached. That's a powerful ministry. 3 years. That's it. And then he died on the cross. Luke 4:43 says, but he said, and this is Jesus speaking, but he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. See, Jesus had to come and do a ministry for 3 years. He had to train disciples so that they could take over the ministry when he was gone. But you know the beauty about God is he wants to do it with you, not just for you. Lots of times we pray, God, do it for me. And God says, no, let me do it with you. But God, I need to get out of this trouble. Okay, I'll be with you. No, God, I want you to take the trouble away. I said I'll be with you. Amen? You know we pray that way, right? I must preach the good news. If Jesus was compelled to preach the good news, and Christian means Christ-like, doesn't that mean we're supposed to be imitating him? That means we should be preaching the good news. Now, getting back to that $1,000, you guys were all excited about that $1,000. And then we found out how useless it is to a dead man. And then some of you said in your hearts, but I ain't dead yet. I know what you're thinking. God tells on you. The ones laughing are the most guiltiest. But now listen, getting back to that $1,000. Now listen to this. This is important. You all were excited when I mentioned money. But then the fire went down when I mentioned eternal salvation. Because if you really believed how great it would be to be with God, you'd be more excited about that than the $1,000. You should be running the work right now and say, the preacher man said I'm going to live forever even though my body dies. Of course they're going to look at you like you're crazy. You might as well be crazy for Jesus. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for the world. Because the world hadn't done nothing for me. Nothing. But now listen, if you really believed in what Jesus has in store for you, you would be excited about it. And then you would run to work and run to your friends and run to your families and say, listen, what I learned. Jesus saves us from our sins. And you would feel the presence of God around you when you start talking about him. And you will know that he's with you in the room, even though everyone else has just kind of stepped back from you a little bit. But you would know it because God will be with you. He will help you do this. Amen. Jesus is the very essence of the message. We are to tell about him to everyone we come into contact with, just as he did. You know, there's a bumper sticker. What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what he would do. He would tell you about salvation through him. That's what Jesus would do. That's what Jesus would do. When you get busy doing the work of God, God gets busy doing the work in your life. And before God is going to change your situation, he needs to change you. He needs to change you. If you're not excited about the message, there's a problem with you. There's a problem with me. There's a problem with us if we're not excited about being with God. Everybody wants to go to heaven when they die, but no one's in a hurry to get there. Think about that for a minute. But we should be so on fire for God that like that $1,000 I mentioned at the beginning, we should want to tell everybody about it. We should be like calling everybody up. I've got something better than $1,000. But your excitement is an indication of your belief. How excited are you about Jesus? The things that come out of our mouth, the Bible says, are the things that come out of our hearts. You get a new car, you're going to tell everybody you got a new car. You got a new house? Go tell everybody you got a new house. Okay, third, we are commanded to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Did you guys know that you're commanded to do it? This is an obligation as a Christian. I didn't say this. Jesus did. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. We have so much power today that the followers of Jesus in his day didn't have. We got the internet. It costs almost nothing to start a webpage. In fact, that's what I've done. I've got a webpage proclaiming the gospel, and I'm on Facebook, aren't I? And I record all of my sermons and I post them on the internet. Not to boast, but to be an example that we should all look into our lives and say, Lord, what is my skill? What is it that I can do to serve you? And when God reveals it to you, do it. Do it. That person at work you can't stand, can't get along with because they're so evil and vile. Maybe God puts you in their life to be an example of a Christian to them. Maybe you can't reach them with words, but you can reach them with deeds. You can reach them with a Christian life. Maybe you can say, listen, they're not listening to my words. But as a Christian, I can walk Christ-like in front of them. I won't curse people when they curse me. I will forgive my enemies when they still hate me. I will love those who despise me. And I won't do this for my own sake. I will do this to be an example of how a Christian is to walk. But guess what? Can't do that on your own. You can't proclaim the gospel on your own. You got to go to Jesus and say, oh God, help me. Help me forgive my enemy. Because you know what I want to do? I want to hurt them back. Be honest with them. We get mad and we want to hurt people like they hurt us. But Jesus says that doesn't get him into the kingdom. Forgiveness gets him into the kingdom. Forgiveness got you into the kingdom. How come you're not forgiving? You want something from me all the time that you're not giving to other people. Yes, Lord, forgive me. And then Jesus will say, you just remember the forgiveness that I gave you. And that will compel you to bring the forgiveness to those that you don't want to forgive. Because you know if you look inside yourself, you are deserving of God's punishment. But he spared you. And if he spared you, then why can't you spare others? Let God handle them if they're guilty. The worst thing you could do is turn them over to God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. Christians should be excited that they are saved through Jesus. When we are excited about something, we want to share our joy with others by telling them the good news. That means all of us should be leaving here today and says, you know, I heard something about Jesus today. Let me share it with you. Amen. Christians not only have the responsibility to tell the message, but also the authority and power of God himself to proclaim it. Because see, I know some of you are thinking in your heart, well, pastor, I'm not a preacher man. I'm not even a minister. I'm not even a church-going person all of the time. Sometimes I show up and sometimes I don't. Who am I to talk about Jesus? Well, listen, if it was up to you, you wouldn't even be saved anyways. This isn't about you. This is about Jesus, right? You don't have to be a mechanic to tell people about the new car you got. Amen. You don't have to be a builder to tell them about the new house you got. Amen. You don't have to be a manager of a workplace to tell them about the job you got. Amen. You don't have to be the savior to tell them. He's the savior. He's the one that tells them through you, through submission. Now, listen, you got to be equipped to do this, right? You want the authority and the power of God? He's given it to you. His word, the Bible. Pick it up, read it, learn about him. You can't tell people about something you don't know about yourself, amen? You got to know something before you start talking about it, right? But James, I don't know that much. You know that Jesus saved you. Start there. But they might ask me questions I don't understand. Well, then write down the question and go ask someone who does. Be honest with the person. I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. Jesus. And I'm going to go talk to him and a Christian authority that's going to give you your answer. Just hold on to that question. Amen. But now listen, you got the authority and the power of God. Quit letting the devil accuse you and say you're not worthy to talk about Jesus. Quit letting him show you all of your sins so that you shut your mouth and stop talking about Jesus. Because that's what he likes to do. Who are you to read the Bible, sinner? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. I have been adopted into the family. See, anyone who accepts the Son is adopted into the family. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen to this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who's inside of you? Jesus is inside of you. Who's got the authority? Jesus. Not you, not me, not them. Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the last day. See, before Jesus came, we had the Old Testament. We had the law. We had the sacrifice of animals. But now Jesus is here and time is winding down. It's coming to an end. Grace is almost over. Right now, we are under grace. Right now, it's not up to works. Right now, it's up to the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and that time's coming to an end. And when Jesus is revealed, every eye shall see, every knee shall bow. And guess what? The unsaved are going to see. And Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and believe. He didn't say, blessed are those who have seen and then believe. He said the opposite, didn't he? And then it's going to be too late because the unrepentant sinner is going to be sitting there staring at Jesus face to face. Jesus says that we'll know when the time's coming because the birthing pains. When a woman gives birth, you ladies know what I'm talking about. Us guys could never understand it. But you know when that baby's coming, it's something good, right? And the birthing pains come closer and closer and closer and closer and what? More powerful? Until it happens, amen? But then the birth of the baby comes and you guys are so overjoyed that you forget all the pain, right? Jesus said that the coming of Jesus will be like that, that the earth is going to have birthing pains. And what about the people who haven't heard? Do you think when the whole world's falling apart around them that their hearts are going to be even more open? No. See, when troubles get hard-pressed against people, people become hardened. They start thinking, I don't care what you're saying about me, about Jesus. I got to get mine. They become very selfish. They want to take care of themselves when trouble strikes. It's going to get harder to preach the word of God. Persecution's coming to the church. In order to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to have faith in God through Jesus Christ. If you don't have faith in Jesus, you cannot talk about him effectively. Okay? You can't do it. Because Jesus wants people who talk about him, who know him. Because listen, I can't tell you about somebody I don't know. I can't tell you about that person. I don't know them. I can tell you about them, but that doesn't do the person any justice, does it? I need to be able to know someone before I can start talking about them. Jesus needs some people who are his real friends, people who talk good about him. He didn't call you to be a lawyer. He called you to be a witness. You don't have to argue Jesus to people if they don't want to hear it and they don't want to believe it, right? Shake the dust off your feet and move to the next person. Go to somebody who wants to hear. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't waste your time on those who don't want to hear. Give them the message. They don't want to hear it. Move on. Move on. Amen. Because I'll tell you something. God is good. And sometimes we miss the message because we're blinded by what we see, what we think we see. Right? Praise God. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the light. You're the ones who are the beacon of hope for those who are lost because Jesus is inside of you. And listen what he says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Real Christians shine with the light of God. Real Christians walk into a room and the sinners go, uh-oh. Jesus just walked in here with him. I felt something when he passed by me. I feel something when he talks to me about God. This person is real. You need to be that real Christian. You need to be that light that when you don't even say a word, people know you walked into the room. People know that Jesus is with you and the fear of God strikes them because they know they need to repent. Not because of what you said, but because of the life of obedience and surrender you have towards God. You want to impress God? Obey him. Love him. Worship him. God is the true messenger. We are his vessels. We're his vessels. We carry the message. Amen. As his messengers, we need to pray for him to bring us in contact with those who need to hear and who needs to hear. Everyone. And that he will open their hearts to receive. You can't talk them into this. You can't convince them. You got to be a witness. You got to be the proof that Jesus lives with inside of you. If they see you cursing, if they see you bad-mouthing people, if they see you gossiping, if they see you living an unrighteous life that is not what Jesus would be doing with his own, they're not going to believe anything that comes out of your mouth. You're going to blow your witness. People are going to look at your life and they're going to perceive God the way you claim him to be through your life, not through your words. It's your lifestyle people are watching. You got to show me what you're saying. Praise God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.